This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We have made it to Friday. I mean, Daniel Jones hasn't, but we've made it to Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to your Football Friday edition of Evan and Tiki. Tiki Barber will be broadcasting the New York Giants game on Sunday. So on this Football Friday, he's live from Ground Zero. He's live from the location where everything's going on crazy over the last 48 hours, and that's the Giants training facility. In fact, I just received word he is meeting with Tommy DeVito right now. So Tiki will be with us in just a couple of minutes. Now, yesterday on this show, when talking about Daniel Jones and his farewell, I said it, I think you said it too, Sean, why not just release Daniel Jones? And we understood the cap situation. All it meant was the Giants are going to take the full cap hit next year as opposed to possibly spreading it over a couple of years. And since Daniel Jones could get hurt walking around at the Giant facility, which would trigger the injury guarantee, it made no sense to me that the Giants didn't release him. So here's where I stand on this, guys. They made the right decision. Daniel made the right decision. It's good for everybody that Daniel Jones isn't there. My only critique is, why did it take until Friday for it to happen?
Well, I think that you have to take into account the teammate thing, right? And I'm sure Tiki will speak to this. When you start a journey in August, no matter how bad or how good the season might go, you heard Dexter Lawrence, you heard Darius Slayton. Maybe that was an option for the Giants where they just wanted to make sure it was right by Daniel. And if Daniel wanted to stick around his teammates and, you know, be there for Tommy DeVito, they were going to give him that option. Obviously, he chose not to have that option. So I understand why it wasn't done immediately. There was probably a lot of emotions involved with it. But nonetheless, here we are. The ball is dropped. Happy freaking New Year, Evan.
What is it, my New Year now? What is it, your New Year now?
It's everybody's New Year. From Giants fans to anybody who's not a Giant fan who's had to listen to our talk shows over the last 6 years on WFAN, Daniel Jones has got to be one of the top five most lightning rod topics we've had over the course of the last 6 years. And today, as it stands right now at 2:04 freaking p.m. here, we are rid of what was a black cloud over Giants football. For a lot of good, don't get me wrong, more bad, but it is over, and it feels so damn refreshing. I'm happy that Daniel and the Giants came to this agreement today.
I agree that I think if you're a Giant fan, we all kind of came to the same conclusion, maybe at different times over the last few weeks or even last few years, that this wasn't working. I think we all eventually got there. I don't think there's disputes left about, they should have kept DJ. DJ should be starting. I don't think anyone's there anymore. The only thing, and I don't think this is going to cost Brian Daboll his job. I don't think this is going to cost Joe Shane his job. I don't think this is a black mark on Giant history by any stretch. The only critique I would offer is that the rollout on the Daniel Jones decision could have been a little bit better. That you had a whole bye week to decide who the next quarterback will be. We all knew it wasn't going to be Daniel Jones. It leaks out on Monday. Daboll meets the media on Monday. He doesn't really answer directly what the plan is with DJ, but then we clearly see what the plan is when Tim Boyle is signed. Then we see him as the scout team safety. We see him emotional on Thursday to then finally on Friday him meeting with ownership. All I'm saying, and this is not Willie Randolph at 2 a.m., I want to make that clear. This is not, you know, even the whole Eli Geno Smith situation. But it could have been just a little bit better. It could have been more organized and neat and tidy, where this could have been done all kind of in one fine swoop, because we all knew where this was going. And Daniel knew that where this was going. So the meeting between Daniel Jones and John Mara, which happened on Friday. And again, the great solution works for everybody. We talked about this yesterday. I just think it could have happened a few days earlier instead of like the slow burn that we all witnessed.
See, that's where I disagree. I think if the Giants, we wake up on whatever the first day was, Monday morning, and we find out, hey, Tommy DeVito is starting Sunday and the Giants have just released Daniel Jones. To me, that might feel like it's just ripping the Band-Aid off and it's quick, but I think the Giants actually came across like a classier organization here. Hey, we have to make a business decision. Daniel Jones acknowledged the injury guarantee yesterday. They gave him the option because who knows what is going on in the heart of a player who's been here for 6 years, who has a bond with everybody in that locker room. There might have been an out where Daniel Jones, even if it was better for the Giants to get him the hell out of the facility, really wanted to stick around and support DeVito and be around these teammates the rest of the year to carry it out. Now, that might sound crazy now that we see how it played out, but why wouldn't you at least give the Giants that option? And oh, by the way, the locker room themselves seemed very split on how they felt when we saw those first comments come out on Tuesday. Why not at least let that locker room deal with everything that's happened and now just have this done and let it be Daniel Jones' decision? So I get why you're viewing it as clunky. I view it as the Giants were just trying to do right the best possible way in a bad scenario for the player.
I do think they got to the right conclusion because when we talked about this yesterday, it never made sense to keep him around. He's not playing. There was no scenario where Daniel Jones was going to play again. So why is he even there?
And him standing around, I know that was a lot of headlines, the scout team safety thing. Him standing around on scout team, yes, that's embarrassing. Yes, that's what extra parts do. But that already became a story yesterday. How was that not going to mount over the next 7 weeks when more and more of this stuff continues?
Well, no, but that's why, to me, it didn't have to happen. Like, here's the way I envision this, and maybe emotions don't lead you here, but here's the way I envision it. Ah, fine, you want to take the whole bye week to decide if Daniel's the starter or who's the starter? Fine. I think Brian Daboll knew a week and a half ago. I think we all knew a week and a half ago during the bye that this was over for Daniel Jones. Once he opened up the can of I'm going to reevaluate things, we all knew the result. Right. I think you tell Daniel Jones, here's the deal. Business sucks, man. This is the reality. You're not going to play again. It's nothing personal. Injury guarantee. And we're going to give you an option. You want to hang around here at the facilities and help? You're more than welcome. Do you want to go home without even being released? Totally up to you. Or do you want us just to release you and we'll allow you to potentially sign with another team? It didn't have to stretch for 5 days.
But how do we know? But how do we know they didn't do that? Because yesterday, wasn't Daniel Jones asked about this? And he said, you know, it's something I have to think about. It feels like he probably was asked this, and that's why it did stretch out again, because Daniel Jones himself was probably torn.
Well, let's hear from Brian Daboll. This is Brian Daboll earlier this morning, right as the news broke. Because the news broke, it's funny, I heard it from Tiki. Tiki told us. Then I heard it from Adam Schefter. Then I heard Craig on the radio this morning. So it was all coming at the same time that DJ's been released. But here's Brian Daboll making the announcement himself. And I apologize. I apologize for the New York Giants. They must be doing major construction. Take a listen.
So I know we just put out a statement releasing Daniel. Wish Daniel the best. He came in this morning, had a meeting with Mr. Mara. And then after discussing with John, with Joe, and with Daniel. Felt this was the best thing for Daniel. Got a lot of respect for him, like I've said, true pro, and wish him all the best.
So what are they building at the Giant facility, Sean? Can you tell me what's going on?
All I know is that statement properly represented Daniel Jones' time with the New York Giants. Just a lot of clunkiness in the background. What could be going on in late November? They're not building the bleachers for training camp already. What is that?
I'm not going to lie to the audience. I thought it was interesting to hear Brian Daboll's statement. I really wanted to play that just to hear the construction.
That is worse than the bouncing basketballs at NBA press conferences. Can anybody just give a moment? Even Jones yesterday when that loud shriek happened during the statement.
Yes.
Can anybody around there just have a little decorum for 30 seconds when important things are being said?
Here's the statement from John Mara. Daniel came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed that would be best for him and the team. Daniel's been a great representative of our organization, first class in every way. His handling of this situation yesterday exemplifies just that. We are all disappointed in how things have worked out. We hold Daniel in high regard and have a great appreciation for him. We wish him nothing but the best in the future. Brian Daboll was then asked this question. I want to use it word for word. You can't hear the reporter, so just make believe I'm the reporter. Hey, coach, did you see this coming?
No, again. This was not an easy situation when things happen like this. And again, he came in this morning, talked with Mr. Mara. Again, they had their discussion. We talked. Thought it was best for him to be able to do that. You know, he put a lot into it. He's a great young man. It's never easy.
Did you see it? Of course, you saw it coming. The guy's basically told I'm going to be a scout team safety and I'm going to stand around like a loser. I mean, logic tells you that a competitor would say, can you release me? Can you let me free? Can you let me just see something else? Even if it means just sitting home for the next few months. Yeah, I don't actually want to do this.
I don't know that I would have saw it coming either. I know that that Dable's getting killed for this because the one thing that we all said about Daniel Jones through his rehab, through the ACL, and through everything he dealt with, seeing everything with Hard Knocks, like he always had the thick skin and rolled it over. And I think even I thought, as much as this sucks, I feel like Daniel Jones is like the consummate pro that's just going to keep showing up to work every day until the bitter end. So I'm kind of with Dable. That doesn't mean you have to be totally shocked, but I'm a little surprised that Jones wanted to be released. Yeah, he kind of feels like a guy that just finishes out the journey.
So Sean looks at this and says, all right, it all makes sense. It's fine. I think it's a clunky thing that we've seen over the last few days. The president of the Brian Daboll is Tanking fan club, Tommy Lugauer, I assume you don't share the opinion of Sean Morash that this was all fine.
No, and I agree with what you said, Evan, too. I can't believe this head coach sits there and says, I'm stunned at this news. You put the guy on the scout team as a safety. You completely embarrassed him starting with Hard Knocks and through this week. Yeah, the guy got demoted. Forget demoted. He basically was released by the Giants. When you make him the fourth-string quarterback, you essentially released him. Now you allow the guy to go home or go sign with another team. I don't care how nice a guy Daniel Jones is. He's probably never cursed in his life or ripped a heater, but he's still a human being, and he was completely humiliated by the Giants, so he has to get the heck out of there, and that's what happened. And the head coach, again, the organization now looks dysfunctional because Dexter Lawrence had to make those comments early in the week. He had to walk them back about calling Daniel Jones the number one quarterback. Dable's had to answer questions all week. They have butchered the quarterback thing since last year when they benched DeVito. They completely butchered this whole thing.
Here's where you could be right, okay? Because I'm not at they're dysfunctional, they're a mess, they butchered it. I think it was clunky. I think it could have been better over the last few days, but I also don't think it's going to cost anybody their job yet. Here's where things get ugly. Here's where things could potentially make this the moment we look back on. If the locker room quits. If the locker room sees everything over the last week. And by the way, I have no evidence that's going to happen yet. Tiki's at the facility. We'll certainly get his feel for how things are right now. And then we'll all get to see the results, right? That's the beauty of football. We're going to get to watch. Sometimes you can tell when a team quits. Sometimes you know. So to me, where things can go really, really bad is how the locker room responds to this. Now, publicly, right, what they said over the last few days, there was support for Daniel Jones. It seemed a little confusion at times, but really a lot of love for Daniel Jones. Where this could look, and we could look back at this as a, quote, dysfunctional moment, Tommy, like you mentioned, is where things go from here. And if things go really, really bad, yeah, we may look back at all of this and say, can you believe how they handled Daniel Jones?
Sure. I think that's very much in play that we could see that. But here's the other thing with how they handled Daniel Jones and what Tommy just said, like, oh, you know, he's still a human being and everything. Can we stop acting like Daniel Jones is going in the Giants' Ring of Honor? Can we stop acting like this is the Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning goodbye? And let's be real. I understand the Giants are a classy organization, and John Mara releasing that statement is all class. Daniel Jones didn't even deserve a statement. Like, if we're being real here, this was a quarterback that just got $82 million guaranteed off one playoff season that the coach coached him up to. And overall, it's 6 years, whether the Giants failed him or not, of futility and failure with one positive year that made him a lot of money. He's gotten more than enough. I am tired of hearing that Daniel Jones's feelings and whether they've embarrassed the poor man by putting him out at safety. Can we get a freaking grip?
No,
this isn't Lawrence Taylor saying goodbye.
Then why was Brian Daboll shocked? So you're twisting what I said there. They embarrassed him. I agree. He's
they're
not a
shocked.
Sympathetic figure. How are they shocked that Daniel Jones wanted to quit?
You want to be real here? They're shocked because Daniel Jones quit. And he has not shown that he's a quitter his entire career.
You think Daniel Jones is a quitter because he said release me?
He quit.
No.
Now, by the way,
Sean.
He is a quitter.
Sean,
that doesn't mean that's not best for his career.
No, but
it doesn't mean
he's not
the right to.
I have to take issue with that. Okay, I'll give the Giants credit for this. The Giants selfishly, you always have to look at things like, why do people do things? How does it benefit them, or is it completely selfless? The New York Giants releasing Daniel Jones, like literally releasing him, not just sending him home and saying you don't have to be here, releasing him was actually a selfless move by the New York Giants. I give him credit. There's no benefit to them because they could have simply said, yeah, you're embarrassed, just go home. But we're not releasing you, just go home. Letting him go to another team not only benefits Daniel Jones because he may get a chance to play, who knows, more on that in a few minutes, it also benefits the team that signs him. What I found really interesting is the team that signs him could actually get a comp pick if Daniel Jones leaves as a free agent. The Giants were never getting a comp pick because they're releasing him. So where I will give the Giants credit before I argue with this quitter thing is the Giants releasing him was a favor to Daniel Jones and his agent. And you want to give the Giants credit for that? Absolutely. That's fine. They did a favor. There's nothing selfish about the Giants releasing him. You'd have to admit that, Tommy, correct?
Correct.
Okay. With that said, Daniel Jones didn't quit.
Yes,
Daniel Jones, no. Daniel Jones said, I want to play football. And you're not going to allow me to play football for valid reasons, by the way. They shouldn't allow him to play football for the injury guarantee. I want to play. So let me have that opportunity, whether it's in Washington, whether it's in Vegas, it doesn't even matter. I want an opportunity to play, not be the scout team safety, but be a legitimate backup quarterback in the NFL. You call that quitting? I call that competing.
I have a bridge to sell you if you think Daniel Jones is starting a football game between here and the end of the year for anybody.
I didn't say he's starting, but he wants to compete and maybe start.
Evan, we are both parents. Our kids make commitments, teams, projects, everything else. As they get older, they're going to be on teams where maybe they're not the starters and maybe they're not getting a lot of playing time. And I believe in us as parents. What will we always tell the kids? You got to stick it out to the end of the year. You're not a quitter. Daniel Jones quit today. He took
Sean,
the ball and he went home.
Sean, there's a huge difference between you're a backup or you're a third string and, hey, I'm going to look into your eyes. God could come down from the sky and strike everybody. You're still not playing. That's what the Giants, by the way, I agree with the Giants' decision. That's not being demoted. That's not wait for your turn. That's literally you're not allowed to play football. So Daniel Jones saying release me, sir, is not quitting. It's free me so I have a chance to compete.
Look, you could cut it however you want. I don't blame him for this, and this is best for the Giants. But my whole point is when releasing these statements like he got tragically done here, when you pine out all the bull crap here, he quit today because he wasn't going to play anymore. And that's it. And that's fine. And he can go off to the sunset, go be a backup in Washington, enjoy himself. But we need to stop waving the pompa. Good guy, fine. Waving the pom-poms like this is some kind of devastating, tragic act that happened to Daniel Jones because he was on scout team safety.
It's not,
see you, Daniel.
It's not devastating. He's not LT. I get it. He's not Peaky. He's not Eli. But he didn't quit. He wants a chance to play. Now, what I find interesting, and we'll get to it in a few minutes, is who's going to sign him? Like, is anyone going to sign him? Is he going to choose to sign somewhere? Because if he doesn't, then my whole point's proven wrong. If Daniel Jones decides, I'm going to wait a few months, I'm not going to sign anywhere, then my point to you about him being a competitor and wanting to compete, that wouldn't be true. But my assumption is you ask for your release because you want a chance to play. And we'll get into where he may play coming up. We made predictions on it yesterday, but our predictions yesterday were 2025 because we assumed they weren't going to give in and release him. So we'll get to that coming up, plus your calls, your reaction to the releasing of Daniel Jones, and certainly how the Giants handled it. 888-808-1019. We'll also talk about what's coming up this weekend. Tommy DeVito returns to the throne as the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants. What are our realistic expectations for DeVito? Are people actually deciding to go to this game because Tommy DeVito is the starter? And I'll also tell you why my wife and Ben Simmons ruined my night last night. But that's much later on. The man who was voicing it when Daniel Jones' era began, and now he's voicing it as the Daniel Jones' era ends. Tiki live from the facilities. What's the mood all like over there, man?
Surprisingly not as despondent as it could be, if that makes sense. I think, you know, this happened earlier this morning. I know you guys talked about the Daniel Jones release, and it was Daniel's obviously decision, and he requested it, and we were over here to meet with Dave's and the players, and not knowing what was going to happen with Daniel Jones, obviously, and Dave was late for a couple of minutes, and when he came in, he told us, you know, we just released Daniel Jones, and he was meeting with him and chatting with him, and I guess saying their goodbyes, and so it was it's an odd feeling around here, because people are excited about what Tommy might be able to bring, Tommy DeVito, obviously, but everybody loves Daniel in this building. I mean, it goes without, to a person, everybody loves Daniel Jones in this building. And so it's hard, it's tough, it's, I don't want to say devastating, because obviously winning is what matters here, and it's a business, and those type of things happen, but I think everybody was rooting for Daniel Jones. And almost with the snap of a finger of a couple of days, he goes from not being the starting quarterback to not even on the roster. And so it's just like the suddenness of it is it's hard, right? But there's also the reality that we have a game to play on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're doing a lot of things right, a lot wrong as well, but we need to win a football game. And so the focus is it's there, but it's also the thoughts are with Daniel, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, yesterday when we're talking about this, when Daniel met the media, and we're having a discussion, you, me, Sean, Lou, we were just hanging out, we all kind of said, doesn't it make sense to release him? And once we determined, okay, the cap situation isn't greatly affected, you can't spread it out over 2 years if you release him now, but if you release him now, you eliminate the injury guarantee, you no longer have to worry about it, and you do him a favor because he's got the ability to go anywhere. So it's one of those weird things that made so much sense, yet we're not used to it because it doesn't normally happen. We didn't see that with Derek Carr. We didn't see that with Russell Wilson, and maybe that's why, like, it made sense on paper, but it had never happened, so we weren't fully expecting it to happen, you know?
And you know, the reality of the injury guarantee affecting a quarterback's, I don't know, place within an organization also seems very rare.
Right.
It's three times that we can think about. Russell Wilson, obviously, but that feels different because he was kind of a mercenary going to Denver after he left Seattle. It wasn't like Denver had this great, you know, affection for Russell Wilson. So it was kind of like, all right, whatever, good riddance. You know, good luck wherever you end up, even though he's, you know, playing well in Pittsburgh despite the loss last night. And we saw it with Derek Carr. And Derek Carr maybe had a little bit more, I think, affinity with that Raiders team. But I think Daniel Jones is loved in this organization. And I spent some time talking with John Mara. He was talking about how he loved Daniel Jones. And it's everywhere. And so it's a bittersweet day because you knew that the business decision had to be made. And Daniel will land on his feet. He'll be fine. He's a hard worker. We all know those accolades that have been talked about with him as a person. Forget as a player right now, just as a person. So he's going to be fine. But you also miss the fact that he's not here. And it happened so quick.
Yeah. I can't wait to do this because this feels like I'm a kid again. I'm about to tattle on my sister. And I say to my dad or my mom, you're not going to believe what my sister said. And then I tell my dad and mom what my sister said. And then my mom or dad get so pissed off and I just laugh in the corner. So I'm about to do that right now. Sean Morash, my brother, my little baby brother, he called Daniel Jones a quitter. What do you think about that, Dad?
Did you put that in context, what? Evan?
No, Sean thinks DJ's a quitter.
What
are you talking about?
I said this is best for Daniel Jones. He should want this. This is best for the team.
Hold on. I don't care what is best and blah, 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 and yada, 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 and what else. There's no quitting Daniel Jones. It's the last thing he wanted to do is quit. He said in a statement yesterday.
Right.
All he wanted to do was play. He wanted this to work out. It didn't.
But he could have stayed and supported Tommy DeVito in that locker room the rest of the year. He was under contract. He could have done the right thing the rest of the year and been with his teammates. I'm not saying that I'm blaming him for that, but he still walked away from the team today. He still made that decision.
Yeah, but he almost had to, Sean.
Of course he had to.
I actually think the Giants had to have this happen. But, deep down, I think if I looked at Daniel Jones the rest of the year, and I'm not losing respect for him, but, he was a part of that quarterback room just because you're not playing.
You can't call him a quitter. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Said it seven times.
No, hold on. Yeah. Is calling somebody a quitter and just the pure definition, right or wrong, is he walked away from the team today. He quit the team today.
Oh, God. Sean,
but you could quit and still be
right. I wish I didn't like you so much. I mean, I'm serious. I want to come rip your head off.
Thank God we're not in person with each other today.
You're right.
Look, Daniel Jones is a competitor. That's why he requested being released. He wants to play. The Giants basically told him, because of business, you're not going to play. Lightning could strike everybody. Lightning could strike everyone's hamstrings. So everybody's okay. I don't want to be too morbid. And they won't be able to run.
That's a good body part to strike.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the lightning strikes everybody's hamstrings, and we have no quarterbacks left. You know what they would do? They would sign me off the street, and I'd quarterback ahead of Daniel Jones because of business. So if that's the situation you're in and you want to play football and Daniel wants to play football, then you ask nicely, hey, can you get me the hell out of here? I'm not sure that's how he phrased it with John Mara, but something of that statement, you know?
Well, I can guarantee you it was a classy conversation that Daniel Jones had with John Mara. I can promise you that's exactly how it went down, that they had a man-to-man conversation. And they express their gratitude towards one another. And because Joe Shane's not here today, they allowed this to go through and transpire. And so it becomes it's an odd day. I can't even know how to explain it.
Very odd day.
Right, because when we meet with Dave's and he tells us this, it's like I'm almost expecting it, but also shocked at the same time, because it feels like the era ends just with the snap of the finger, and now everybody's eyes and attention within the organization necessarily has to turn to Tommy DeVito and what he can potentially do with this team, or what he's going to show with his team. And he knows this isn't guaranteeing that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants for the next 6 weeks or going into next year or whatever other type of time frame you want to put on it. But he also is excited for it. You know, he just said, let's go, let's play. All right, this is my opportunity now. And regardless of how he feels about Daniel, and I think he's good friends, they're good friends. Drew Locke is in this group as well. Regardless of any of that stuff, Tommy DeVito now has to focus on beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We will get to predicting Daniel Jones's new home shortly. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. Jim is calling from Madison. How are you this afternoon?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class.
Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoon, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
No problem.
Listen, I've called plenty about Jones in the past, so this will be the last time. So if you give me a minute to just rant about this. You know, I've been a Jones supporter for a long time, longer than most. It's sad to see how this goes. I'll always maintain that the Giants did not allow him to be good rather than he just didn't have it. But none of that matters now. It's all over. And at the end of the day, the Daniel Jones era will be looked at as a bad thing, and the Giants dragged it out for probably two more years longer than they should. That being said, I don't understand why so many people are taking this as a chance to laugh at him or dance on his grave.
They should.
I mean, this is a guy from start to finish with the Giants. Said everything right. Consummate professional from the time they were, you know, booing him at Yankee Stadium to the time they were burning his jersey in week one, up until the speech he gave yesterday. So to all the, you know, ESPN talking heads who are, you know, getting all over him, you guys are a bunch of headline-chasing, highlight-chasing whores.
Headline-chasing. What I would tell you about...
Nice way to call them out.
No offense to anyone at ESPN or Fox or the national voices. They have a very different job. Locally, we look at our teams. You know, most people listening right now are Giant fans. A lot of people listening now are Jet fans. Our view on things failing for us is a lot different than the national view when you're, 30,000 feet or 50,000 feet? 30,000 feet.
50, so, you got to be in a F-18 or something.
Oh, yeah, so that doesn't really count. So the way I view it, and I assume Giant fans feel the same way, is the same way I viewed the end of the Zach Wilson era, the end of the Sam Darnold era, even the end of the Mark Sanchez era. So all different kinds of success and failures. Obviously, with Sam and Zach, it was failures. And I include Mark Sanchez because he had success. So for the Giant fans out there who are like, we had some success with Daniel Jones, you're right. My emotion when it's over is not to laugh at anybody. It's to be sad. It's to be sad that it didn't work. Now, I could give two rat's asses about what someone nationally who has no emotional interest in our teams think. So it doesn't bother me because I don't care. I care what we think. So I assume, Giant fans, as a fellow New York sports fan, your feeling today is, it sucks this didn't work. That's how I felt with all my failures.
That's definitely part of it, but I think we're so far past it sucks it didn't work with Daniel Jones because it feels like we've like tried to say goodbye numerous times that this just feels like a refreshing new feeling of like hope. Okay, we could finally really start this thing anew. Like the Daniel Jones era that it didn't work out is over. But I would just caution any fan calling up today going, you know, how dare anybody laugh at Daniel Jones on the way at the door? Daniel Jones is a great person, made a lot of money, and we could support him. Don't be hypocritical because in this town, we have seen guys who are plenty good. Good guys, whether they're Sonny Gray or Joey Gallo or Jacob Trouba, where we are the first ones as fans to basically laugh at them and try to run them out of town. Suddenly, because Daniel Jones is a good guy that you actually like personally, we're going to act like we're going to thumb our nose and above it. Please stop it.
Let's go to Rob in Sayreville. Good afternoon, Rob.
Gentlemen, I'm glad I get to follow up Moresh there. I'm going on the opposite side. I am ecstatic today. I feel like the people that are calling up trying to defend this guy are out of their bird. We have spent the past 6 years watching this bum try and find an open receiver. And I am so happy to say that this era, this nightmare of a 6 years is over.
It's not all a nightmare. It can't be. It's not all a nightmare.
Oh, Kiki, I love you, but this has been, like, we've been the laughing stock for, like, I can't even remember how long. We're, like, comparable to the Jets. This
Why am I getting trapped now?
The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in 14 years. The Giants were there 2 years ago.
Four more years.
Now you're doing it. Why are we getting trapped now, man? Why are we all facing it?
He just said it, not me. I'm just laying out facts, right? Two years ago, this wasn't a nightmare. Everybody felt great about this Giants team and where they were potentially going. And they got younger and they got more explosive and more exciting in some places. They just haven't won. And so things change when you don't win. It's simple as that.
Now, Tiki, I would just say this. Not a total nightmare, you're right. The Daniel Jones era reminds me a lot if you dreamt the movie Total Recall. You're like, what is going on here? There's a lot of, like, gunfire and everything else. And then the three-boobed woman comes out, and you're like, this is awesome. That's what 2 years ago in making the playoffs and winning the playoff game is. It's the three-boobed woman in Total Recall. The rest of it sucked.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a good era. Okay, they did have the one good year. What I like to say about one good years is it's a fart in the wind. Like, it happened, but it turned out to be the anomaly. But where I disagree with our last caller, and this goes and works in a lot of ways of life, it is so easy to blame the guy who failed and celebrate that they're gone. But what you forget is how difficult it is to find the right person.
Definitely.
When we fire coaches around here, when we fire managers around here, when we dump the once promising young quarterback around here, I get it. There's a sense of relief. No more complaining about Todd Bowles anymore. And then guess what happens? You hire Adam Gase. Hey, no more complaining about Ben McAdoo anymore. And then you hire Pat Shurmur. And then, yes, we got rid of Shurmur. I'm so happy. And then it's Joe Judge. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's very tough to get the answer. Firing the person you're not happy with, that's easy. We all feel that way as sports fans. You're failing, leave. Jets are doing it right now. Joe Douglas, you suck, now leave. Okay, here comes the tough part. Find the guy to replace him and have that person be successful. So that's why I kind of disagree with our last caller. It's not a happy day.
No.
It's never a happy day when your team stinks. I'm sorry.
No,
it's not.
Because you, at some point, you have to turn the corner where you are consistently positive or you feel positive about the team. And I'm talking from a fan standpoint, but I'm also talking about from an internal standpoint. The last thing you want is for the organization to start thinking, man, we just don't have a chance. We're just not good. And if you're the Jets or the Giants, consistently you can't say that. There are moments, obviously, where you're like, man, we have some talent. Wow, we have a chance to be something this year. But it's fleeting. And for most seasons, save for 2022, for the New York Giants, it's been about a month into the year, and it's just like, all right, well,
yeah.
I guess we'll try again next year. And that's like, it's a depressing feeling. Look at this. We're 6 weeks away from the end of the season still. It's actually, is it seven more weeks?
Seven.
Yeah, seven more weeks. and so it just feels like, because there's 18 weeks, obviously, so there's seven more weeks. And it's like, all right, what now? And so it's just, it's a hard way to be.
Yeah, but the reason I think Giant fans, because I'm leaning this way too, where I'm more happy today, and maybe it's, again, because we felt like we said goodbye to Daniel Jones a few times. This just feels like, to me, an organization where now we do have 7 weeks left, and there's no more arguing about what the base roster looks like, what they're trying to build, who's going to be here in the future. You could not have an honest Giants conversation after a football game was played where you look at a game and evaluate it without Daniel Jones being the first thing that was brought up and the first thing discussed. What was Daniel Jones holding back from this team? What was Daniel Jones doing that we couldn't proper evaluate anybody? That is all over now, and we are so done with the Daniel Jones aspect of this that, to me, I find it happy because I could just finally, even if I'm going to be complaining about other things, complain about something else. It's just happy to have that, like, stranglehold feeling after every game over now.
Jesse is calling from Blue Point. What's going on today, Jesse?
Hey, guys. I think there's a lot more to the story. The fact that Jones went directly to Mara and Mara makes this decision. I mean, if I'm Daboll, I don't want to release Daniel Jones, and maybe he catches on with the team and plays really well this year, because if he does, odds are he's getting fired. The fact that he has the ability to go to Mara, and Mara just grants his release, and Daboll even says that in a press conference, I think it's telling. He's almost pulling a Woody Johnson here.
Right. Yeah, but what else would you want him to do, Jesse?
But
you know, to me, that's more of a respect thing. That's an appreciation thing for Daniel Jones's wishes. We all know, even though nobody said it except for Daniel Jones, his demotion to third and probably, in actuality, fourth-string quarterback was because of the injury guarantee. Nobody else wanted to say it. Daniel Jones obviously did. And so out of respect to Daniel Jones, who is likely not going to clear waivers quickly and then sign with another team by Monday or whatever the heck the time frame is, I don't actually know how it works with the waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to reflect on himself and his career and what he wants to see in his future. He's going to get picked up somewhere. He's going to be on somebody's roster probably by the end of the season. And it's likely a team that needs insurance at their quarterback position, and they're potentially competing for a playoff spot. And the last thing they can do is have a young or bad backup quarterback derail whatever they have going for them. And so Daniel Jones is going to land on his feet. I have no doubt about that. But you also can't now crush the Giants for granting his wishes because they made a business decision on him.
So I'm glad he brought this up. It's a great question because I was thinking about this before. Earlier this week, it's all in the same week, I lost my mind about Woody Johnson being too involved. And I've said to you, I don't want this from my owner. Now, an owner has every right to be involved, but I don't like it. I don't think that's a good functioning organization. So I thought about this. Okay, this was an ownership decision. So I went through this in my head. Let's all do it together. Daniel Jones looks at the situation, looks at being a scout team safety, looks at the fact that he's not going to play. He's basically been told he's not going to play, and he wants to play. He wants a chance to compete. What does he do? So he goes above Brian Daboll. He goes above Joe Shane.
No, you're wrong.
No?
No, you're wrong.
Did he ask for his release from Brian Daboll?
You're missing. Brian Daboll doesn't have the ability to make grant his release.
Did he ask
Brian
Joe Shane?
Daboll is not Bill Belichick.
Did he go to Joe Shane?
Joe Shane is not in the building today. And so he could go to one person. And out of respect for the Giants and the organization, he went to the head of the organization, who is John Mara. And I'm sure they had a respectable conversation about the situation that they all found themselves in. So I know what you're trying to lay out to put this in the category of the Woody Johnson making all the decisions. This is not that.
Well,
not even close.
But here's where you're wrong, because
I'm not wrong. No, I talked to John Mara for 20 minutes today on the field.
I haven't given you my opinion yet.
Okay,
you don't know my
ahead.
Opinion. My opinion is, once he doesn't go above his head. I kind of think he does, unless you're telling me he couldn't go to Joe Shane.
I'm telling you, Evan, take the L, he does not.
Well, but who makes the decision on cutting players?
The general manager of the organization.
So then Joe Shane.
Joe Shane is not in the building today.
Does he have a cell phone?
I don't know where Joe Shane is.
Okay. He could go to Joe Shane and say, I'd like to be released.
You don't go to your head coach and say, hey, coach,
you're right. That's why I go to GM. You're right. It's Joe Shane. Joe Shane is the roster builder. So you go to Joe Shane, you ask to be released. You go to the owner and you say, I want to be released. The reason why it's different, see, this is why my opinion is I'm not mad at John Mara for this. Mm-hmm. See, you didn't see that coming. I swerved you. Here's the reason why and why it's different than Woody Johnson. Because if I'm John Mara, I then ask Joe Shane, he may not have done this, how does it negatively affect us if we release him?
It doesn't. The only thing that it does.
It doesn't.
The only thing.
What, he goes to a team that you play?
No, forget that. Who cares?
Exactly.
It's one thing that affects you and has nothing to do.
Which is what?
With right now, the cap hit for 2025
yes.
versus the cap hit between 2025 and 2026.
That is true. And I would argue, especially if I have a GM or head coach on the hot seat next year, screw it. You're not spreading it out over 2 years.
Right.
When we talked about this yesterday, my
exactly
opinion
right.
was I get it out of the way now.
Right.
And if I'm not sure if my GM is going to be back next year or the year after, I'm not kicking that can down the road for two more years.
Right, because that's what happened. That's what happened to this regime coming in.
100%. I don't want to do that.
Dead money was kicked down the road. It's like, all right, what can we do this year? Nothing. What can we do next year? Nothing.
So to me, the difference between this being a Woody situation or a did you, not that you overstep your bounds, because as an owner you could do whatever the hell you want, but at least in my opinion, overstating your bounds, is that this doesn't negatively affect the Giants. And quite frankly, for the opinion of, well, it makes Brian Daboll look bad. If he goes somewhere else, plays and does well, who cares? That'd be my opinion.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah,
win games the final 7 weeks of the year.
Know,
that's all that matters.
You know what's funny that you say that? Because you get the sense that everyone here, and I said it multiple times, I'll keep saying it, everyone loves Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we as fans, we want, the teammates don't like him. No, they love him, period. Maybe in their minds they're like, he's not playing well, but we love him. He works his butt off. He's always here. He's the greatest guy to every person here. We love this guy. If he went someplace else and had some modicum of success, I promise you these guys wouldn't be like, this sucks for us. They'd say, good for Daniel Jones. I'm happy for him. And I feel like that's the relationship that he's had with almost every person I've talked to today after we all found out that he was released earlier today.
But it would make the coach look bad. And the reason why that to me shouldn't matter is the only thing that should matter when judging this head coach are the results for your team.
Right. Well,
that's the only thing that should matter. If he goes somewhere else and plays well, the optics of it to me are irrelevant.
But why would Brian Daboll be worried about him going somewhere else and playing poorly? Brian Daboll very clearly, as the coach of this team, has wanted to get rid of or upgrade from Daniel Jones since at least April when they were looking at the draft. So I can't imagine, after sitting off a bye week and then deciding to bench Daniel Jones, that Brian Daboll now in the back of his mind going, oh my God, imagine he goes and plays well elsewhere. He's got more tape on Daniel Jones than anywhere. He has no confidence he's going to go somewhere else and play well this year.
Let's go to Neil in Rockland County. What's going on, Neil?
You guys are out of your minds. And first of all, I'll just say our long national nightmare is finally over. Daniel Jones is gone. I'm so happy that this is the case. And the fact that Tiki, I mean, Tiki, I love you, but this is not a somber day. This is not a sad day or bittersweet or whatever you said. I mean, let's grow up here. I mean, this
Hold on. Let me correct you for a second. I've said this many times over the last couple of days, maybe weeks even. You have the ability to look at these situations and these individuals as avatars, literally just figures on a game board or a video game console. What I'm talking about, that the emotion that I'm referencing, is from talking to individual people, flesh to flesh, face to face, I can feel your breath, you can smell mine, ooh, type of situation over and over and over again. In this building today, I'm at Quest Diagnostic right now. That somber feeling is what people are telling me. It's not my emotion. I mean, I know Daniel Jones because I met him when he was still in college at Duke, and then he became the Giants quarterback, and I called his first game and have had a distance, you know, media relationship with him for a long time. But I'm talking about the people in this building who have come up to me and said, Tiki, you were great when you were here. This is literally said to me, but I love Daniel Jones, man. Daniel Jones is one of the best people I've ever been around. So when I'm talking about a somber day, don't take it as the fans should feel somber. I don't care what you feel. I'm talking about what the Giants feel, the Giant individual, the Giant organization, the Giant players. That's what I'm telling you is what they told me, right? I'm directly reporting. So you can have your opinion about what this should feel like. I'm telling you factually what people in this building, where the Giants come to work every day, feel about Daniel Jones not being here any longer. And it happened with a snap of a finger in a lot of people's estimations. They walked into work today, and Daniel Jones was no longer a New York Giant.
And here's what I want to know, and we all want to know, and Tiki will give us the answer in just a few minutes. They're all somber. Guys are sad. Guys feel bad. How is that going to affect them when they play football on Sunday, if at all? We'll get the answer from Tiki, who's live from the Quest Diagnostic Center at the Giant facilities, where the Giants are the center of the football universe, at least for today, as Daniel Jones has been released and the Tommy DeVito era begins on Sunday, and you'll be on the call with Andrew Catalan and one of the McCourties. I think it's Jason. I got it right. And AJ Ross, who, quite frankly, may be the best part of the crew.